This morning, we start a new worship series, Miraculous, where we will be spending time with the miracles of Jesus that are shared in the Bible and spend time kind of reflecting on how Jesus continues to work miraculously in our lives today. We take time, especially in this part of the year, to make sure we are intentional on our devotion to Jesus because we are about to start what is known as the Christian season of Lent, which is a time of spiritual renewal and preparation for the celebration of Easter. This morning, for our very first miraculous story, we have a familiar story of Jesus healing someone. Jesus does that a lot. And we're going to speak in more depth about some of the other healing narratives throughout our time together. But one of the things I want to especially lift up about today's story and the healing nature of the story is that in this particular account, there are friends who bring someone in need to Jesus. And this is kind of where we start in our conversation about experiencing the healing power of Christ. I love in this particular gospel lesson that there are friends who realize there is someone in need and he can't get to Jesus on his own, and so they are willing to help get him there. And not only are they willing to help get him there, but when there was a crowd, did you notice what they did? They tore a hole through the roof. Can you imagine it? I mean, if someone did that at church, I would be pretty angry. But you know what? They knew their friend needed Jesus' healing touch. And they were willing to do whatever it took to get him there. Now, I encourage you throughout the week to spend some time reflecting and praying about this particular scripture. But there's a couple things I want to mention before we have Bill come up. And the first is to think about which is easier for you, to be the person on the mat or to be the friend who carries. For me, I do not like sitting on that mat, right? Heaven forbid anyone ever I have to rely on anyone for help. And so in my case, when I reflect on this scripture lesson, usually Jesus is putting me on the mat and saying, let someone lend you a hand, give you a hand. Maybe you're in that place, though, where as you imagine and think about the scripture lesson, you're feeling a nudging, like you might be one of those friends and you have been rather shy or reticent to bring your friend to Jesus because it feels uncomfortable to you or strange to you, or you're not exactly sure what that feels like or looks like. In the past, when we thought about bringing our friends to Jesus, we often see it as a big tent revival where they have to accept Jesus as Lord and name some list of creedal affirmations. But if we notice in this scripture lesson, the friends are bringing them to Jesus for healing and restoration. And it is in that miraculous act of intervention that life takes its course. Now, I've asked Bill to come forward because I think that when he shares his story, my hope is that you will hear through his testimony both the power of being the friend on the mat as well as one of the stretcher bearers who's willing to tear a hole in the roof to help their friend. And so without any further ado, I'd like to invite Bill Bryant to come forward now, share his story, and hear this word of grace and encouragement.
Lori and I had our first date on March 7th, 1970. Lori was a senior in high school, and I was living at home, working and saving money for college since I had graduated the year before. A week later, Lori and I had our second date. And 2 weeks later, Lori was invited by my family to a surprise 19th birthday party for me. That night, Lori invited me to her prom, and we quickly became inseparable. In fact, Lori wrote in her diary, "Mom and Dad were kind of upset that I was spending so much time with Bill. Lori and I married on June 24th, 1972. The love and joy I felt that day could not have been greater. You might say I felt unspeakable joy. Lori and I believed God brought us together, and God blessed us as we enjoyed our lives together. We were blessed with two wonderful daughters, Karen and Wendy, and later two grandchildren, Joey and Julia. In 2012, we celebrated our 40th anniversary with family and many friends, and our lives continued to be wonderful and joyful. In August 2017, Lori was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. Eight months later, with the four of us together, early in the morning of May 11th, 2018, Lori died. Now, I know Lori joined Jesus in our heavenly home where he has prepared a place for all of us. I had a relationship with Lori that was filled with love and joy that I believe is beyond measure. When we were together, the love was obvious. When we were apart, I would think of Lori and feel that love and joy. When Lori died, the joy within me died as well. I lost my best friend. I lost my companion. I lost my encourager. I lost my source of delight. I lost the one I shared everything with. I lost the shoulder to cry on and the arms that embraced me. I lost the one who could always cheer me up. But my soulmate, Lori, is not lost. I know where Lori is. Lori is with Jesus and has experienced a love far greater than the amazing love that Lori and I shared. So I wrote these following words in those weeks after Lori died so I could see them every morning. I celebrate every day that Lori is with Jesus. I wrote this, but I didn't feel it. I didn't embrace it. I didn't take it with me when I left the house. But God had plans for me to help me take my faith and lead me out of that, to take it with me each day. My faith led me to a Christian counselor, and after several weeks with her, she suggested I check out GriefShare. I did that because I knew I couldn't live as I was with Lori in heaven and me here. It wasn't possible. I needed more help. At griefshare.org, I read the following. GriefShare is a friendly, caring group of people who will walk alongside you through one of life's most difficult experiences. You don't have to go through the grieving process alone. You know, that sounded good to me. In September 2018, I went to my first GriefShare session, and I found a group that knew how I felt, understood the challenges I feel every day, understood about coming home to an empty house, opening the door, sitting down on the steps and crying before you take your coat off. I shared a grief stare and they understood. And a grief share group can become like family because we could look forward to getting together and sharing and encouraging each other. Dan was the first person I met at grief share. His wife, Anita, had died several weeks before Lori. Dan and I had common interests. He spoke of his work with Habitat for Humanity and Faith in Action, I talked about my volunteering at Cross Food Services and at Feed My Starving Children. I met Vicki, whose husband died the week before Lori, and her father died 2 days within the death of her husband. Those deaths, and being so similar to my death with Lori, we had something, a bond between us that we felt. Paul and Becky were friends before grief share. They came, and Paul's wife, Sandy, had passed away, and Becky lost her 23-year-old daughter. The five of us became very close during this 13-week session of grief share. And we participated together in a second 13-week session of grief share. After the second session ended, the five of us met weekly for coffee and support. About 18 months later, Paul and Becky moved to Arizona. Lester, our grief share leader, facilitator, joined our weekly group. Dan, Vicki, Lester, and myself continue to meet weekly for lunch and support. Family. Now, people mean well in their attempts to help when you're grieving, but sometimes those efforts from family and friends can be challenging, can make it harder. Grief Share helped me deal with this in two ways. One session spoke about why should I forgive? To me, it comes out pretty basic. Grief Share telling me to focus on God forgiving me and not focusing on the wrong that was done to me. I felt my brother had said the wrong thing, and I wasn't very happy with him, quite upset. But God has forgiven me, therefore I need to forgive my brother. I also learned that he didn't really understand and was really just trying to help. Another session spent time on how to write a grief letter. How letting family and friends know my feelings and my needs. Sharing what they can expect from me. I wrote a letter to my siblings and to my nieces and nephews telling them this, and this letter was helpful for us to move on in love. I also really appreciated the care that Grief Share has taken in blending biblical instruction with practical guidance. That helped us all. But that focus on Scripture and the promises of God is what is helping me the most get my joy back. Scripture like Psalm 130, verse 5, I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits. And in his word I put my hope. Or Philippians 4:13, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. And Psalm 31:24, all who put your hope in the Lord, be strong and brave. And we're all looking for hope in our Lord. When I think about what Grief Share has done for me, I remember the love and joy that Lori and I shared for 48 years. When Lori died, I didn't lose Lori or the love I have for Lori, for love never dies. I did lose the joy that we shared. Grief Share is helping me find that joy again. With my memories of our lives together and focusing on the love of family, two wonderful daughters, son-in-laws, grandchildren, brothers and sisters, nieces and nephews, cousins, and then friends at Crosswinds. Grief Share is helping me to focus on these memories and relationships and on Lori being home with our love, with our Lord and Savior, and someday I will join her. Now, a little about Grief Share. Grief Share Experience is a 13-week session that each session includes three parts that work together to help us recover from that deep hurt upon a loved one's death. First, it's videos that's featuring Christian experts and personal stories of people who are grieving a death. Second, it's small group discussion about the video and how they relate to us, and also sharing about what's going on in your life, but only if you feel like sharing. And there's a personal workbook and taking notes during the video with short daily readings and optional weekly grief work. I am blessed to be bringing the Grief Share Ministry to Crosswinds with Marlon Tevis and Sherry Scholand, and bringing this Grief Share to Crosswinds and the community. We're starting our ministry on March 13th. And here's the invitation. If you or a friend or a relative or know of someone who is dealing with the death of a loved one, consider joining our group. And you can sign up on the Grief Share site that's noted in the bulletin, or on the events calendar of the Crosswinds website. Now I ask that you be in an attitude of prayer. As I pray to the Father, we thank you for your promises to always be with us and to be our strength. Bless our Grief Share ministry by filling us with love and compassion. Give us the Holy Spirit to guide us in our ministry. Guide those who grieve the death of a loved one to a Grief Share group that helps them find the joy in their lives. We thank you for the promise of salvation and eternal life in our heavenly home with Jesus and joining our loved ones. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.